Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I'm Christy Lowe. I'm your host. I'm so glad you're back with us again this week. And y'all, I am thrilled to have my new friend, Julie Sunny, on the show. Julie, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Christy. It's such a joy to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. And friends, you know, I say this all the time. If you haven't gone over to the Even If Podcast website, go over there, get that newsletter, get the Spotify playlist if you haven't gotten it. And then if you are not already following us on Facebook or Instagram, go over there and give us a follow and say hi. I love to talk to people, y'all. So just come over and say hi and don't be shy, okay? Julie, I want to start out, my friends who may not know you, why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what brought you here today?
Sure. I was raised in Iowa and I still live in Iowa and I love it here. I had 5 siblings, so there was 6 of us, and raised on a farm and just had a really good upbringing. My childhood was really wonderful. I was raised in church and I knew God, but my faith was pretty much a Sunday faith. And that's kind of where it stayed. Of course, I knew God was sovereign and I knew he was over everything, but I wouldn't say I really had a strong personal relationship with him as far as knowing he was in my court kind of thing. I knew he ran everything and he was creator of everything, but it was a pretty uneventful, wonderful childhood. And then I met my husband, went to school, went to college and graduated and got married. And we waited a few years and then we decided that we were going to have a family. And so that's where my faith journey, I think, really begins at that point, because things didn't go like I had planned. And I had thought of God as, I was always a good person. And I kind of thought of God as long as I'm a good person and I do the things that are right, life is going to go well. God will be pleased and that will all be well. And it didn't turn out that way. Shortly, maybe a few years into our marriage, we decided to start a family. And I did get pregnant fairly quickly after that. And that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. And that, honestly, Christy, was the lowest point in my life. It was such a deep, dark place that I spiraled into. I remember when the doctors told me they didn't think there was a heartbeat. I remember just, I wouldn't believe it. I just blocked it out. And I was just begging God. And I would sing to my unborn baby and just say, hold on, you know, it's going to be okay. God is there. And I would just beg God to say, well, the next week we went back and the baby, there was no heartbeat. And at that point, I became so angry. Honestly, I became so angry with the Lord. I didn't understand him. And so I had these expectations of who he was that were not right expectations. And so it just sent me spiraling very deep into a deep depression where I didn't want to, honestly, I didn't know if life was worth living and I didn't know what to expect going forward or whether I even wanted to go forward. And I just remember curling up in bed and just sobbing. And my husband and I were not grieving the same.
Okay. How so?
Well, we're both, of course, men and women are very different. And
yes.
Uh-huh. And men are very much fixers. And he knew he couldn't fix it. He couldn't bring the baby back. And the baby was so real to me. And I had all these plans for that child from the time I first saw the pregnancy test that said yes, you know, probably even before that, honestly. And my husband was more of a wait and let's wait and see. You know, I wasn't far enough along. He never felt the baby kick. There was no physical signs for him. And so he was very quiet in his grief and in how he processed. And what I wanted was for him to grieve like I was grieving. I wanted him to hurt as much as I hurt and to show it. And that wasn't the way he was dealing with it. And so that made me feel even more alone.
Yeah, a couple to, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're not together as a couple, it's difficult when you're not in the same place and you don't understand each other. And we were young. We were young and young in our faith, honestly, as far as our faith is really walking with the Lord. We just hadn't been walking real close with the Lord at that point. And so that was really difficult. And that the people, our friends that we had told already that we had been pregnant, and of course, we had to tell them that we'd lost the baby, and they meant well, but it wasn't, most of the things that they said really weren't that helpful. And I don't mean that to, you know, they meant well and they loved us and wanted to be there for us, but they really hadn't known anybody who had experienced miscarriage, so they really didn't know how to help. But it was in that place where the Lord began to turn my life along, and it was a very, very long journey, because I'm kind of a stubborn kind of person and a very strong-willed gal. So
we will be good friends then.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm not the only
stubborn,
one.
Stubborn and I are well acquainted, my friend. You know, wait, I want to stop you for a second, because said y'all were young in your faith. And I want to just tell you, we have been through what you have been through. We have experienced miscarriage as well. And I know people are well-meaning. They try, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say that helps. You're grieving for that person. But, you know, I think our faith, the first time our faith is tested, like, that is where actually our faith begins. That's where you had this wonderful child, this wonderful childhood and upbringing. And it wasn't until this point where you had to face reality and go, okay, is this worth it? Is it worth it to hang in here? As you and your husband were grieving, though, what did you come back together quickly? Or was that something that took some time?
No, it definitely took some time. We were at different places in our faith journeys as well. So it took a very long time. We'll be married 35 years this year. And
congrats.
Thank you. We are in a very good place now, and, you know, communicating much, much better, and are much closer in our faith walks, you know, where we're at in our faith. And so that's wonderful. But at the time it wasn't that way. And I just remember curling up in bed and just, I didn't want to get up the next morning. I didn't care. There was, you know, am I ever going to have children? You know, you go through these silly things that you tell yourself in your mind. Yes. That, you know, I was 25, maybe, yeah, something like that.
You're a baby. You know,
I was a baby.
You were a baby. Baby.
But yet I'm already planning my whole life as being childless my whole life, you know, which is, which is just, you know, it's just silly but in your grief, you catch on to lies. The enemy is so, he just loves that. He'll just feeds it right into your brain, you know, and if you're going to grab it, he's going to give it to you. Oh, yeah. And so I was just laying there, just not really wanting to do anything anymore, and just crying. And I remember the one night the Lord gave me a dream. And in that dream, he showed me my baby. She was probably about 3 months old at the image that he gave me of her. And she was just so beautiful. And he actually even said her name. And yeah, and I hadn't told anybody, even my husband, we hadn't talked about names. I was so early along, and it was Sarah. And he said, you know, Sarah is with me and she is fine. Now you need to just get up and live. It wasn't like instantaneous. Oh, okay, Lord, I'm up and, you know, jumping around and happy go lucky. No, it wasn't that way at all. But it did shake me enough and show me that even though I was so angry at the Lord, he was just right there with me and he was taking care of my baby. So I didn't need, I was still grieving, not having her to hold and, you know, not being the mom that I had so wanted to be at that point. But I knew then that he was there and that he wasn't going to leave me. And so I wasn't alone, even if my husband and I weren't walking the same path together at that point. So that started a very roller coaster journey for me. We did have a short time of infertility, but then I did end up getting pregnant and we had our firstborn, and he was born with some disability and was whisked off to the neonatal unit. So that was another scare on that part. And so we didn't get to bring him home for about a week. But I went through, it was about 8 years from my first miscarriage. And we ended up having 5 live births. And then I lost 5 babies in that 8-year span. And so we had 4 live births, 5 miscarriages. And then my third child, when she was born, it was our only daughter. She was born with a cleft palate, and it's basically a hole in the roof of your mouth, for those of you that don't know. And hers was only in the soft palate. So it really wasn't noticeable until she was trying to nurse or she couldn't get any suction because her mouth was just open up there. So that wasn't a big deal. And our doctor said, well, that surgery usually around 11 months, and we can help her find some stuff to help her nurse even, but for sure to get sustenance, to get the milk she needs, she'll be fine. And so we didn't think much of it. And then at 6 weeks, she quit breathing on us.
Oh.
And yeah, it was a very, very traumatic, very scary time. But we found out that it wasn't from heart condition like we had thought, but it was from a reflux condition. So she had acid reflux so badly that she would close her airway as an infant. And
my goodness.
Of course, couldn't tell us this, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a long story because it brought up a lot of guilt because I should have known, I should have known the signs of that. So here she is 6 weeks suffering with this. And anyway, so we went through all of that and it ended up by about 3 years old or so, 2 or 3. Well, we knew kind of all along there were certain things that kept happening. She wasn't developing. I already had 2 boys. I knew how babies should develop, and she wasn't sitting up when she should. She wasn't rolling when she should. And so everything was developmental delay. So we dealt with that for a number of years until we got a diagnosis, what was velocardiofacial syndrome, or Sprinson's is what they called it, which ended up not being the case at all. I found out who the doctor was who named that syndrome. And so I sent him her charts, and he was from New York. So I sent him her charts via email, and he responded right back and said, this girl does not have velocardiofacial syndrome.
So they'd misdiagnosed your kiddo?
They misdiagnosed her. Yes. Yes. And we had done some genetic testing and things were inconclusive. They couldn't really identify. They believed it's a genetic syndrome. They still, to this day, we still don't have a diagnosis. Honestly, once that was rescinded, we've thrown out a lot of things, but nothing is ever really, and it doesn't matter at this point. We wouldn't do anything different for her. The only thing it would help a little bit is with, would have a little bit more of a roadblock. Do we need to worry about thyroid? If she was diagnosed with something.
Yeah, sure.
And also it would provide a little bit more of a support group, because if your child has Down syndrome, you have a Down syndrome support group. If your child has autism, you have an autism support group. For those children that have undiagnosed,
you have the unclassified support group.
Yeah, unclassified.
Is that on Facebook? Is there a Facebook group for unclassified? I don't know, but
never seen anything.
Maybe you should start that in all your spare time, because you have nothing else better to do, right? Then,
actually, I have considered it.
I mean, something like, yes. And I think sometimes it helps whenever you can put a name to something, because it just, I mean, our identity is wrapped up in our name. Our identity is wrapped up in a lot of times is how we see. And you know, you would have the ability to go, okay, what did you expect here? And what did you went at this milestone? How old is Rachel now?
She is 20, will be 26 coming 26? Up in June. Yep. She will be 26. Okay. And we've transitioned a number of years ago now to caregiving versus raising, which is a whole nother story in its own. It's a very difficult feeling as a parent. And just the way you think about your child when you go from raising your child to caregiving for your child, it's a really different thing. And she is cognitively probably like a 3-year-old. So she'll always need to live with someone. And that has been a source of a real trial. That's probably one of our biggest trials, is looking into the future. For me, it's a scary thing. And I have to, that's honestly where the book that I published that will be coming out in May, sometimes I forget, that's really where that all came from.
When I was reading your book, there was a point where you said that you kind of had a panic attack. There was a point where you thought, what am I going to do when I'm not here to help her? What am I going to do? And you just, the beauty of what you were writing in that, I could feel your anguish of what are we going to do here? You have a beautiful gift though, by the way, my friends, her book is coming out May 7th. And so we will definitely put a link for that on Amazon. This should be coming out the last week of April. We're recording at the beginning of April. This should be coming out the last week of April though. So right before this publishes. So we will definitely put an Amazon link in there, because there should be a link already available for that. But, you know, I'll just tell you, as I was reading your words, it was simultaneously gut-wrenching and powerful, because the first thing you did was you went right back to what the Lord said. I love the name of your book, Sometimes I Forget. Because I'm just going to be real. The episode on our podcast that came out this week, my friends who were listening, it's like April the 2nd or something like that, was when it came out. And in it, I said that there are times where I forget within just 2 or 3 seconds of what God promised or what he said. And it's like, I will know. And yet I just forget, like dadgum Dory on Finding Nemo. I mean, Do you do? And then when I saw the title of your book, I was like, well, I need this in my life.
It's exactly right. You know, it's so easy to forget. And that's one of the reasons. That's why I wrote the book about the character. And it's 60 attributes. Subtitle is, oh, I'll have to say the whole thing, otherwise I won't get the subtitle right. So sometimes I forget 60 reminders of hope for your hard days. It's all about 60 attributes of God, because I've known his promises. I know his promises. You know, but that actually ends up being part of our problem. We know his promises. We know he promises abundance. And we're like, well, where's the abundance? We expect the promises to look a certain way. And when they don't, that affects how we view God, actually, and how we view our circumstances. So for me, it's like, okay, the promises are great, but I have to know the one who made those promises. I have to know that he's trustworthy. And so I had to take it all the way back to the character of God. And so as I started exploring the character of God, I found that there is no way that I can question. Okay, there is a way, because I am human. But when I remember his character, it's so obvious that he has only our best in mind, because that's just who he is. He's loving, he's good, and if we think about it, he's unchanging. So what he was in the beginning is always what he's going to be. He's infinite, so he was there in the beginning. He's always going to be there. He's going to be everywhere. He's eternal. He's always been there. He's omniscient. He knows everything. I know nothing. You know, I know so little. And so
Same.
as I began exploring this, it actually came out of a blog post, because I was having something similar. It wasn't exactly that moment when I was doing the panic attack, but it was a time when I was just very emotional about it and thinking, what when my husband and I are gone, what are we going to do? And my boys are sweet and they love their sister dearly, but they have their lives too, and she's not with them, she's with us. So what is that going to look like? You hear the horror stories of people, especially people who can't defend themselves or speak for themselves, how they're abused and things happen. And so that's a real concern. And so I just started pouring that out. And then I thought, wait a minute, my God is bigger than this. And so I started reminding myself, and that's how it started, was I just wrote this blog post. Sometimes I forget, Lord, that you are sovereign and you are in charge of everything. And sometimes I forget that you are loving and you love Rachel so much more than I do. So I just kind of listed a few things. I didn't go into 60 at that time, because that took a little work. But and that really helped calm it helped calm me, because then if I know the one who made those promises, I can trust the promises even when they don't look like what I want them to look like.
Well, and I think that that's often the hardest thing is when we think that God's going to answer our prayer in a certain way and then he doesn't. Or we think we know how this needs to pan out and how it needs to work out. And he's like, oh, child, don't you know? He just like shakes his head. He's like, oh, child. But
Probably rolls his eyes
oh,
sometimes.
yeah. He's like, he is the like face palm, like right there, man. Like, that's God to at me sometimes. But I think it's because I just have such a, we have this tiny, finite slice, and we can't see the kingdom calendar. We can't see this. I imagine it as this beautiful tapestry that he is weaving. We can't see that. All we can see is our little bitty thread, and we can't even see all of that. And he can see the whole thing.
It's really beautiful.
Oh, it is. I joked about being Dory and not being able to hang on to it for more than 3 seconds. Personally, I'm a sticky note, or I have my stack of index cards, and I'm a girl that has to write it down. Like, currently, I have 2 Corinthians 12:9 written on my index card right here. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. That is currently the scripture I'm memorizing right now. But what do you do to hang on to it? How do you go, okay, I'm going to hang on to this for more? How do you develop that? What have you found to help?
Well, I think the core thing is just you got to be in the Word. You just have to. There's no other way. You can't. And I tried other ways. It doesn't work. You know, you have to know the one who created you, who knows you, who loves you, who wants the best for you, who knows your future, even now. Even he's in your future before you're ever there. So you have to know him. So you have to get in the Word. You have to listen to some good teachings, good solid biblical teachings. Prayer, I pray often, and I don't memorized prayers, but I pray a lot of spontaneous things. And I pray as in conversation. I don't take a lot of time. I'm not real good at sitting still and just really sitting there for an hour in prayer. I'm not good at that at all.
Uh-huh.
But I do a lot of, I guess, what some people call popcorn prayers, or as I go about my day, I talk to the Lord a lot. Hymns have been huge to anchor me. I've just been so anchored through hymns. And when I'm really in a funk and it doesn't matter what I tell myself, it's not going to help, I put on hymns because they always touch me. And they mm-hmm. always can bring a smile. You get a good hymn on and be reminded of the truth. So those are some of the things. I also think we have to be really careful about comparing ourselves to others and our situations to others, because I think that makes us feel lonelier and more isolated. And they can help you then remember the truth of who God is and his good plans and all of that. So that's another really key, I think, community and just surrounding yourself with believers.
Community is so important, so important.
Mm-hmm.
You said something about comparison. Oof, sister, it's so easy to fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to other people or our situation to somebody else's, for better or worse. Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah. And I saw that in so many, when I look back on my faith journey, I see that in so many places. Some of even like with the miscarriage, like I told you, I'm kind of a strong-willed woman or think of myself as a strong woman. And so letting those weaknesses show is a difficult thing for me personally. And I think for many of us. So within the miscarriage, you know, it's like, it's not as bad as what some people suffer. And it's not as, and even within the disabilities of my daughter, some people have, you know, she doesn't need a feeding tube and physically she's quite healthy and she really is a joy. She doesn't have the behavior problems that some people deal with. And so I feel sometimes it's funny because I feel so blessed in her disability that you almost feel like it's a sin or you shouldn't be grieving it or you shouldn't be talking about it because other people have it worse, which is, again, it's a form of comparison that is so harmful to us. We need each other and we need, and every grief, you know, the Lord cares. The Lord cares about no matter how small your trials are. He's a imminent, he's a close God. He's transcendent. Yes, he's far out there. Of course, he's far above everything, but he's also a very near God. And we have to remember that and that he cares about those things in our lives as well. So we should as well. And we should come alongside each other and not say, well, she's got it worse or she's got it better. Or it doesn't matter how we each grieve individually and our griefs are individual and our trials are individual. But they're all, anything that's painful should be painful for the body of Christ. And anything that is a joy, we should all rejoice as a body of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether it's a bigger joy than another one or a bigger grief than another one.
Well, whenever we compare, we're diminishing. Like if you're saying, well, mine's not as bad as so-and-so's, you're diminishing your grief or you're making what you're walking through. You're just saying, well, I just had one miscarriage. Well, she had five. I mean, the grief we experienced as a husband and wife was still horrible. I mean, it was so traumatic. I mean, it's still, I mean, we talk about that sweet baby is in heaven waiting for us and we will meet. I really believe we had a son. I don't know. You know how you don't know, but you just know.
You just know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've always thought it was a boy. And I just hold that I know, but that doesn't mean that mine is any less than yours or yours is any less than someone else, because we're all walking through this. We're all trying to find the faithfulness of God in the midst of our circumstances. That's the biggest thing, is we're all looking around and going, is he faithful? Yeah. Yeah. He's faithful even in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He really is. Absolutely. What do you tell somebody that is just overwhelmed right now? What do you tell that person?
To just hold on. The future is a scary thing to look into. And so God gives us the grace for now. He'll give you the grace for now, not next week, but right now, right this minute. And so we do him a disservice by looking into the future. He's got it. He's got it in his hands. But for us to try to look there and to try to figure it out and find his grace, no, his grace is sufficient for now. So just hang on. Hang on a little longer. Just take that next step. That's all you have to do. Maybe it's just the next minute is all you can manage right now. But he's there and he'll meet you, and he'll meet you every minute thereafter with just the right grace that you need. And then find other people, surround yourself with those who can be there for you and can remind you of who the God is that you serve, that he's faithful enough, that he's sovereign enough, he's big enough, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, all of the omnis. And then you can go into all the he's loving and good. And yeah, we can't understand him, but isn't that the beauty of the Lord that we serve? Because if we could understand him.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have, if I can understand everything he's done, like what kind of God is that? That's like, oh yeah, I get everything he's doing. No, he's way bigger than me. Yes.
And that's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah, no kidding. I got to ask you though, you divided your book into 60 different characters of God. Okay. So I don't know if anybody else is asking you this, but I got like, all right. So what's your favorite one? Like right now, do you know, like how I have like a favorite Bible verse of the day, or I'm, you know, but like, what's the character of God right now from your book that you are hanging on to? Is there anyone in particular who I'm making you think?
Yeah, there's so many, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking about this before we got on this talk, honestly, before we got on this interview. And I just started jotting them down. It's like, I couldn't quit. It's like, okay, which one is it then? So I'm going to cheat, if that's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to cheat just a little
fair
bit.
Enough. You okay. Go ahead. It's your book. You can cheat. I mean.
Thank you. Honestly, some people, it doesn't give them comfort. But for me, his sovereignty brings me a lot of comfort. Just knowing that I don't have to have it all together, because he does and he holds it all. That's one that's really beautiful. But I also love that he is transcendent, so above everything. But the thing that really pulls me in is his immanence, how near he is to us as well. He's very individual. That's why our grief is so important, and no matter how big or little it is, because he's individual. He looks at us as individuals, and he cares for us as individuals, and he cares for our problems that way as well. So that's a beautiful one. But probably one of them that bookends everything, although God can't be bookended. They all are meshing together to be perfect. But is his unchanging nature, because I never have to worry about him being less loving or less good, or, oops, I missed this, or maybe I'm, you know, too angry. No, he doesn't get too angry. You know, everything is just perfect.
He's like
with
this.
The Lord.
He's just steady Eddie, man.
Yes. So we never have to worry that we've ticked him off, or, I mean, how fearful that would be if that was the God that we served, that we would do something that would make him really angry. And then, you know, but we don't have to worry. He's not punishing us for what we've done. We may be disciplined for some of our actions, but that is a way different thing and a way different conversation, actually. But he's a steady God. But because he's so powerful, and because he's so loving and good, and all of that is wrapped into the one package of our perfect God. So there, I cheated enough. That's why I can trust him.
Yeah. Well, I think he is extraordinarily trustworthy. He has proved himself over and over. And what I appreciate is that even if we do forget, he's just gracious, and he'll just, like, I don't know if you're like me, but I'll see things along the way in that day where I will remember his goodness or his faithfulness. But I mean, I forget all the time, and he just so gently pulls me back in. I mean, just time after time, like, I would want to snatch me bald headed by now. Like, I would.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh,
that's
woman.
A great analogy.
Like shock collar or
I
something.
I love that image.
My friend's watching on YouTube.
I think you should just hit me over the head with a 2x4 sometimes to get my attention, you know?
Yes. Well, he'll put these little guardrails along the way. That's like, nope, don't go that way. Here, come like this way. I'm like, I'm just like the toddler. I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I'm the girl who's like, ooh, I get shiny object, and I'm distracted and I'm gone. And then I forget. Yeah. Like, remembering it's, you know, sometimes I forget. So how do I remember? And going through, you know, and reading your book was just such a gift. Thank you for sharing it with me and letting me read it, because I was reminded over and over of just the gracious God that we serve. It is a beautiful book. Beautiful book,
Thank
my
you.
Friend. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much. That's my prayer, that people see the Lord and their faith can grow and they can learn to trust him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing too is it was a book I thought, this is a book I could give my friends that are grieving. This is a book I could give my friends that are also struggling with in a hard place. And so that was when I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to pick up a couple of copies of this so that I can pass it along as the Lord prompts. I'm a book giver. Like that's my favorite. Like if you ever get a book from me, because I'm definitely a, what is it? Like a bibliophile? Is that the word for it? Where you
I'm
like
not sure
love
on that one.
Bibliophile? What
Yeah,
is a book
you're
lover?
probably right. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
probably right.
I think that's the word for book
Probably
lover.
right.
Anyways, I love books and I love to give books as gifts. And so anyways, yeah, that's definitely one I'm gonna
Thank
need.
you. Oh,
You're
thank you.
welcome. Yeah, absolutely. As you continue to walk this out and live this out, my prayer is just that the Lord would continue to bless you and use you in this, in the special needs community, but also just in the those who are hurting, because let's just be real. If we're not hurting right now, we have been or we're fixing to be. So,
Yeah.
I mean, it's just part
Yeah.
of this life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But where can people find you? Are you on Instagram? You're on Facebook, I know. Instagram too? Yes.
I am. I'm kind of on a lot of the main ones. I'm on
Okay.
Facebook, I'm Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter. Yeah, you can find me kind of everywhere. Probably the one spot that you might want to go to is juliesunny.com. And that's Sunne is my last name, juliesunny.com. And I do have some freebies there as well that can encourage you, and you can find all the details for my book. And I'd love to walk all of you this journey because we need each other, and so we need to find others to walk with and to be reminded. So we need those reminders. Yeah.
We absolutely do. Well, thank you, Julie.
Because we forget.
Oh gosh, we do.
We forget.
Sometimes we forget every day. That would be the title of my book. Sometimes we forget
Yeah.
every 5 minutes.
Every 5 minutes?
Yes.
We said the same thing at the same time.
Every 5 minutes.
Every 5 minutes. That's right. That's right.
Well, thank you, Julie. And thank you for being here with us today, my friends, and for just coming alongside us. I love that. I feel like whenever I have a guest on the show, I'll have my friends tell me, it's like I've just gotten to eavesdrop on your conversation with somebody. And I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be. I want us to all be in this room. I wish we could all be in this room together, but because of the technology, you know, we can do this over the United States and in other parts of the world as well. And so that is a blessing. But wherever this finds you today, I pray that you remember, if you have forgotten, I pray that you remember how much you are loved and what a gracious, gracious God he is. So thanks for being here with us, and good Lord willing, I will see you guys next week.